Bible reading comes from Luke 7, 36 to 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he cancelled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Over Lent, we're doing a series called Jesus Living in the World. The idea is to look at how Jesus chose to engage with the world we live in, and in doing so, gain a better overall picture of Jesus, as well as a better idea of how we are to interact with the world and the people in it. Last week we saw that Jesus, as the Son of God, could have chosen to do anything, but he chose to humble himself, submitting himself to the will of his Father and serving the people for their own good in a self-sacrificial manner. So Jesus chose to engage with the world by doing what's best for the world and for the people that he met. He preached the gospel to them. He helped them to know that the kingdom of God is near and how they can be a part of it. He invested into individuals, helping them to grow, and he lessened the suffering of people that they experienced in their lives. This is how the Son of God chose to live in this world, and therefore this is how we also ought to live in this world. We are again looking at how Jesus lived when he lived on this earth. Today, focusing on Jesus' openness to accept people as they are. We all naturally have standards for who we are willing to accept and reject. Accepting people who maybe are more like us or who we can easily get along with, while rejecting people who seem very different from us and who we find hard to connect with and like. And this is normal for human beings. We enjoy the company of people who we feel comfortable around, and we like them being around us, but the experience of being around people who make us feel uncomfortable is quite unpleasant. And it makes us uneasy inside, so we naturally want them to go away. And this is the root cause for why people accept and reject. Now, one might suspect that Jesus, being morally pure, would have found the sinfulness of the people around him to be very off-putting and cause him to feel uncomfortable with their presence. And the more morally impure a person was, the more repulsed Jesus would have been. But when we observe how Jesus interacted with people, we see something quite different. And when we think about it, we're all very fortunate that Jesus reacts in this way to human sinfulness rather than by repulsion. Because compared to Jesus, we're all terribly sinful. So let's have a look at our reading from Luke. In today's gospel reading from Luke 7, 36 to 50, we have Jesus responding to an invitation to have dinner with a Pharisee at his home. While he's there, the word gets out that Jesus is in their town, and a woman who is described as being a woman who has lived a sinful life hears about this and makes an incredible decision. Now, what exact thought she had which drove her to do what she did, we will probably never know, but it's clear that what she had seen or heard or previously experienced about Jesus moved her to want to honor him in a special way. There was something about Jesus which compelled her to buy an alabaster jar of perfume and to ignore cultural norms, enter Simon the Pharisee's home, knowing that she was uninvited and would have been very unwelcome by him, and pour perfume on Jesus' feet. Maybe she had already been showed love and acceptance by Jesus at an earlier meeting. But whatever it is, she is overcome with joy at his presence and begins crying. She uses her tears as water and her hair as a towel. What a remarkable show of love and gratitude. Knowing who she was, that is, a well known for being sinful, it would have been completely taboo for Jesus to accept this gesture of love, affection, and admiration. And we know this for certain by the way Simon the Pharisee reacts. When he thinks to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. Put yourself in this situation. How uncomfortable would you feel if a person who was well known as being sinful publicly showed affection for you in a way which could be misconstrued? I would be terribly uncomfortable and just want to get out of there, remove myself from being anywhere near her. And for two reasons. Firstly, it would make me feel very uneasy inside. And secondly, I would want to make sure that everyone around me knew that it made me feel uneasy. And if you don't think that these are real concerns for Jesus, then think again. Because literally right before this story starts, in Luke 7 verse 34, Jesus states that he knows that people are gossiping about him, saying that he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So if this is the backdrop, still Jesus makes no motion to remove himself from her action. For there is something more important going on here. More important than the need to appear to the general people around as if he's pure. This sinful woman has seen or experienced the divine nature in Jesus. She has encountered that beauty of God in Jesus And words cannot express the love she has for him because of just how incredible he finds her. She finds him. Jesus knows that she is responding in love to the touch of God in her life. And he will not do anything which would give her the impression that her response of love towards him is rejected. And that is more important than the opinions of everyone around, maybe having an untrue opinion of Jesus. It is more important than appearing pure to Jesus. In fact, Jesus wants the sinful woman to know that not only is she not rejected by him, but that he accepts her and welcomes her, even praising her expression of love. Jesus does this not by pulling away from her, and then by telling a parable with her as the model to emulate. Two people owe a money lender some money, one 50 days' wages, another 500 days' wages. If he cancels their debts, who would love the money lender more? The one who had more cancelled. Jesus then reveals that because the woman knows that she's very sinful, she is more loving of Jesus than someone who thinks they're below averagely sinful, probably like Simon does, which is showed in the level of honour that Jesus is shown by Simon the Pharisee, who did not offer to wash his feet or kiss him or put oil on his head, which were common ways of showing hospitality and respect for someone deserving of honour when they come into your home. Yet this woman used her tears and her hair to wash his feet, has not stopped kissing his feet, and poured perfume on his feet, which were all extreme ways of showing honour. Just think how much you'd have to respect someone before you would do such a thing. Jesus' response to her is to forgive her many sins, saying, "Your sins are forgiven, and your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The contrast between Simon's and Jesus' response to the woman is stark. The sinful man is repulsed by the perceivably more sinful woman, but the sinless man welcomes the sinful woman. As we read this story, we should hear the words of Jesus from John 13, verses 14 to 17. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." If Jesus, our Lord, is willing to accept all people, no matter how sinful or messed up in their life they are, we, as his servants, are to accept all people, no matter how sinful or messed up their lives are. We see Jesus' willingness to welcome people others commonly are rejected in many other stories, such as the Samaritan woman at the well, the calling of Matthew and Levi, the story of Zacchaeus, the woman caught in adultery, Jesus willing to touch men with leprosy. Jesus makes those who are rejected by the rest of society especially to feel welcome. In Matthew 9:13, after Jesus has called Matthew, the tax collector, and is having dinner at his place with his tax collector friends and other outcast sinners, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees who will not welcome sinners, saying, "Go and learn what it means when the scriptures say, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice.'" God's character is one of mercy and compassion. That is why when Jesus is faced with sinful people, he doesn't respond with repulsion. When Jesus is faced with people helplessly lost in sin, he has compassion on them and desires to show mercy. Jesus sees sin as a trap or a jail cell that we can't escape from. And he wants to release people from this destructive force in our life. This is who he is. Jesus does not reject anyone. He accepts everyone. Jesus will not turn anyone away. All who come to him are loved by him and shown compassion and mercy. It's just who God is. And we can see just how important this is for Jesus, for us as well, because the last teaching Jesus gives in Matthew's Gospel about the coming judgment when Jesus returns is that part of the criteria we'll be judged according to is whether we feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, look after the sick, and visit those who are in prison. With Jesus concluding with, "Whatever you do for the one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Jesus takes it personally if we choose to help the vulnerable and forgotten, or if we choose to ignore them. Jesus takes it personally. Jesus clearly accepts and welcomes all people as they are and calls on his followers to do the same. This call of Jesus's to love and accept all people has shone through the lives of Christians throughout the centuries. I want to tell you about one such man, Basil of Caesarea. In 367 AD, there were three very important Christians living in Cappadocia, or modern-day Turkey. Cappadocia includes the cities of Antioch and Tarsus to give some more biblical historical context. These three are Gregory of Nyssa, Gregory of Nazianzus, and Basil of Caesarea. They were all great theologians and were important figures in articulating our understanding of the Trinity that we just read this morning in the Nicene Creed. However, Basil did something else amazingly important. He loved the poor. Basil set up what he called his poorhouse. And there the poor could come and have their needs met. This Basileus, as it was called, was like a modern-day crisis center combined with a healthcare center. It was all wrapped up into one, and it had six departments. Remember, this is 367. Don't think this is modern. This is modern ideas here. Number one had six departments: one for the poor, the second was for the homeless and the strangers, the third was for orphans and foundlings, the fourth was for lepers, the fifth was for the aged and infirm, and the sixth was a hospital for the sick. This was the first public hospital ever created where anyone could get free health care. At St. Basil's funeral, Gregory of Nazianzus, who was Basil's best friend, would say others had their cooks and rich tables and enchanting refinements of cuisine and elegant carriages and soft flowing garments. Basil had his sick, the dressing of their wounds, and the imitation of Christ cleansing leprosy, not by words, but in deed. Basil followed the example of Jesus by accepting and welcoming and loving all people. He lived to serve those in need, and he didn't care who they were. Jesus welcomed and loved all people. This included those who were commonly rejected. In fact, Jesus made sure those often forgotten about or rejected were made to feel accepted and loved, and we are called to follow his example. Of course, the only way we can, for us to be like Jesus truly in this way, is for his love and compassion to be a part of who we are. We must be connected to him and allow him to transform us so that we love with his love. This is how we can overcome our natural prejudices and uncomfortability with people who others despise and reject, and rather respond to them with compassion, mercy, and love. Now, with our faithfulness to following Jesus' example, we may not start up anything revolutionary like the first public hospital. But Jesus will have someone whose life we will positively impact and maybe even transform. I mean, maybe it's just to set up an aged care home. There is a lot of brokenness in the world, and a lot of people who do not feel loved and accepted, let alone welcomed and wanted. But Jesus welcomes all who come to him. He does not care about how sinful they have been, because seeing people imprisoned by their sin causes Jesus just to have compassion and a desire to show them mercy and forgiveness. If anyone reaches out to Jesus, he will welcome and accept them. But of course, Jesus also loves them too much to leave them as he found them, and will begin his work of releasing them from their sin in their lives. We are to follow Jesus' example. We are to allow Jesus to fill us with his compassion and love for the lost, the least, the forgotten, the rejected, and the despised of this world, rather than to be repulsed by them. This is who Jesus wants us to be, and he wants us to use us to show the people we meet his love for them, so that they too can have their lives transformed by the touch of God in their lives, just like that sinful woman did when she met Jesus. Amen.